Hello, my name is Thomas Harper.
And my name is Connor McCluskey.
And what are the lovely people listening to today?
Radio Energy News.
This is Radio Energy News.
And now for our top stories this afternoon.
First Minister Humza Yousaf's resignation now means that a leadership campaign is now underway, with John Swinney and Kate Forbes believed to be considering their chances for the race to Bute House.
And Edinburgh's Printworks is set to host an auction in an attempt to boost funding towards Edinburgh's art scene.
But first,
the race to find Scotland's next First Minister and SNP leader has begun after Humza Yousaf announced his resignation yesterday. This follows 12 days of political turmoil caused by his decision to scrap the SNP's power-sharing agreement with the Scottish Greens, a move that prompted two no-confidence votes. Yousaf, who has been in office for just over a year, says he underestimated the hurt caused by his decision. Olga Shapitsna reports on the situation, but first, let's hear the latest update outside Bute House from Joseph Meek.
I am outside Bute House, where the crowds are no more, the day after Yousaf announced he was stepping down as First Minister. The Cabinet gathered here this morning for their weekly briefing, where ministers gave a standing ovation to the soon ex-First Minister, Humza Yousaf, as he entered the room. However, neither John Swinney nor Kate Forbes, who are potential candidates for taking over from Yousaf, were in attendance. The Scottish Green Party has urged Labour to quit playing games and to drop their planned confidence vote. Holyrood will debate the no-confidence vote tomorrow afternoon. Labour will likely lose the vote if they do not receive backing from the Greens. Kate Forbes has released a statement saying that she has a groundswell of support amongst the party, and that she is still considering whether or not she should run to become the next SNP leader. She states how she must figure out if this is the right time for the country, SNP and her family. Jacob Ross expresses his support for Forbes as he states his belief that she would be an interesting leader. Former Deputy Minister John Swinney has announced he's giving a great deal of thought on whether or not to run for SNP leader, giving the same reason as Kate Forbes as he shares his unsure whether it is the right thing to do for his party, country and family. Swinney has received a lot of support from senior members of the SNP regarding his potential running for First Minister, with Health Secretary Neil Gray saying that Swinney will provide stability, diplomacy and experience for the Scottish Government. SNP activist Chelsea Cameron has also expressed her support for Swinney, as she says he's a man of stability, experience and I think he could unify the party. Polling expert Professor Sir John Curtis shared how he thought Yousaf's downfall is most likely good news for the SNP, as it opens up an opportunity for a more effective leader. Curtis goes on to show support for Swinney as he says he is a safe pair of hands. Both potential candidates are taking time to consider entering the race for First Minister. More details on the matter will be revealed within the next couple of days. Thank you.
Humza Yousaf's sudden resignation has sparked debate and uncertainty as potential names of successors are being discussed.
I have therefore informed the SNP's National Secretary of my intention to stand down as party leader and ask that she commences a leadership contest for my replacement as soon as possible.
Just after 1 p.m. today, Labour has announced that a motion of no confidence in the Scottish Government will be debated in Holyrood tomorrow afternoon. Scottish Labour leader Anas Sarwar had earlier indicated his party would push ahead with the motion. The Scottish Conservatives, after confirmed their leader Douglas Ross, will no longer press ahead with his motion of no confidence in Humza Yousaf. The Tories say it's because they had already achieved their goal of forcing the First Minister to quit. Ross has now formally withdrawn the motion. Fourth One radio editor Alan Smith shared his thoughts on the resignation preceding Yousaf's speech outside of Bute House yesterday.
I think he's had the worst of it, essentially. You know, from the moment he became First Minister, that's when we had arrests in the SNP investigation into party finances. A lot of what he's had to deal with is essentially what was put in place by the previous First Minister. You know, the Bute House Agreement wasn't one of Humza Yousaf's making, it was one agreed by Nicola Sturgeon. So a lot of what he's had to deal with has been stuff that's coming from before his time as First Minister.
People we spoke to on the matter have proved to share Alan's opinion on the reasoning behind Yousaf's decision.
I think he's done the best of a difficult position, but he hasn't created that kind of presence that I think made him maybe a strong figure that people would fight to keep in a sense of a non-confidence vote. So I think that he's probably made the right decision for himself to leave before that. And there's just kind of a bit of a gap of who to fill, and I don't know who to lead the party next.
He will remain as First Minister until his successor is chosen, as was the case when his predecessor, Nicola Sturgeon, stepped down last year. The race for who will replace the First Minister has begun. Former Deputy First Minister John Sweeney says he's considering a bid for the leadership, having received backing of several senior SNP figures. Former Finance Secretary Kate Forbes, who Yusuf narrowly defeated in a fractious leadership race just over a year ago, has also been spoken of as a contender. Former Minister Kevin Stewart backed Sweeney, telling BBC Scotland News that he has the experience to be an absolutely fantastic First Minister, and Stewart also believes that Sweeney has the potential to unite the party and bring them forward to the goal of independence. Fourth One Radio editor Alan Smith also shared his thoughts on why John Sweeney has a good chance of becoming the successor.
What we're hearing this morning is John Sweeney, former Deputy First Minister under Nicola Sturgeon, of course, you know, being touted as being some sort of interim First Minister to steady the ship, so to speak, until the next Holyrood election. He was asked about it at the Resolution Foundation in London this morning, and he was saying, we'll need to wait to see what the First Minister says this lunchtime, but John Sweeney may have more to say about it later in the week. And I think if John Sweeney decided he wanted it and he wanted to take charge in the meantime, I don't think there would be anyone to step in his way and try and stop him from doing that.
Former business minister Ivan McKee, who briefly served as campaign manager for Forbes during last year's leadership contest, has said she would be an excellent candidate and a fabulous first minister. He said she reaches out to bits of public the others in the party don't, and concedes that frankly, at the moment we need the support we can get. Sandra and John, who had gathered at Bute House to hear the resignation speech yesterday, had similar views.
I think she comes across as someone with a bit of integrity, and she would try and find some common ground with other parties. I think that's important.
The nominations in the SNP leadership contest opened at 11:59pm last night and will close the following Monday, which is May 6. Prospective candidates will have to gain the support of 100 members from 20 different SNP branches to qualify. The Scottish Parliament has 28 dates to nominate a replacement for Yusuf once his resignation has been accepted by the King. Calls for an election. Scottish Liberal Democrats say they need to go back to the people, while Scottish Labour also say that the only way to stop the chaos is election. Alex Cole Hamilton said in his statement, "We can't go on like this. This country can't have yet another minister without an election." The First Minister's spokesman stressed that government business will proceed as usual while the SNP chooses its new leader.
"I am not willing to trade my values and principles or do deals with whomever simply for retaining power."
Thank you very much, Olga, and our man on the ground, Joseph Meek, for that insight into Scotland's political affairs. And now, Edinburgh Printmakers, the city's much-loved creative centre, is taking part in a large auction of print work tomorrow, with some of the money made set to fund creative spaces for artists, as well as to provide them with expertise and support, all of which are much needed in light of the lack of funding towards local art and artists. Tamzila Ahmed reports.
The much-renowned Edinburgh Printmakers Gallery is partaking in an auction at Lion and Turnbull Auction House tomorrow from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. It is set to display a large variety of print work, featuring modern and contemporary pieces. But the most important part of this auction is the closing pieces. Selected by Edinburgh printmakers, the last works to be auctioned off will be sold to raise funds to support their continued initiatives to provide space, expertise and support for artists and the wider community, as per their website. In the last year, artists have expressed their concern for the future of their craft as a result of the lack of funding going towards it. Mia Yates, a local artist, had this to say.
"I think that if you're not creating art that people will pay for or want to see necessarily, then it's quite hard to get into."
Additionally, the celebrated Scottish art magazine MAP announced its upcoming closure in June after a 20-year run. This closure, along with others, may come as a result of the 10% funding cut to Scotland's public art body, Creative Scotland, which are now only able to support 30% of all applications they receive.
"Art school is very competitive to get into, and you kind of have to have the exact thing they're looking for, so I'm not really sure about art school in general, because art is meant to be subjective, but I feel like art school makes it quite like a competitive, objective environment."
I sat down with James McKenzie, artist and duty manager, Edinburgh Palette, an Edinburgh-based charity focused on creating and managing affordable spaces for creative people, to see what he had to say about the current status of the art scene. He spoke about the importance of artistic spaces.
"Totally important, yeah, that's what it's all about. If you're a visual artist, you need a place to show your work.
James also emphasised how essential funding is to artists and their craft.
"It can be extremely important because some artists don't make work that's object-based. So it's not commodifiable. And if you make it, and if that's your practice, then how do you sustain yourself?
If there's one thing artists can agree on in regards to funding, it's that there isn't enough and that the future of the art scene in Edinburgh doesn't look good.
So I would hope that things could improve, but it doesn't show any sign of that. And if they get worse, then that's really concerning.
Thank you, Tamsila, and a reminder of today's top story.
Our First Minister and the SNP's leader, Humza Yousaf's emotional resignation in Bute House yesterday now means that MSPs in his party are now vying for the top job in Scottish politics. John Swinney and Kate Forbes are considering putting their names in the hat as their colleagues across the party, including Ian Blackford and Stephen Flynn, have started to throw their support to the two main names in the Scottish National Party. Despite the Scottish Conservatives pulling their no-confidence vote, Anas Sanwar, the leader of Scottish Labour, has confirmed that he will table the motion. But coming up on Radio Energy...
Parents nationwide and in Edinburgh are expressing their concerns after it was found that more and more young people need additional support and need support in schools.
And Edinburgh Paintworks are holding a charity auction in a bid to help save the arts in the city as they aim to achieve more funding for their projects and the other capital as well.
And now we're over to Ben Mitchell with our stories from the rest of the United Kingdom and the rest of the world.
A 14-year-old boy has died after a man with a sword attacked several people. The incident took place in the early hours this morning in Hainaut's, northeast London, as a man drove a car into a house before attacking people with a sword. Five people have been transferred to hospital following the attack, with the 14-year-old boy succumbing to his injuries. A 36-year-old man was arrested after being tasered by police. Chief Superintendent Stuart Bell addressed the media earlier today.
The events of this morning are truly horrific, and I cannot even begin to imagine how those affected must be feeling. My thoughts are with the injured, their families and the wider community as we all begin to come to terms with what has happened and try to understand what has happened here.
Former President Donald Trump has been fined $9,000 after violating a gag order. Trump has been found to be in criminal contempt for 9 violations relating to a gag order imposed by Judge Juan McCann. He was accused by the prosecution to have attacked witnesses on Truth Social, a social media platform created by himself. Trump has been on trial for the past week for allegedly paying hush money to cover up an affair with Stormy Daniels. Rafah attack will go ahead regardless of the outcome of Hamas deal, says Israeli Prime Minister. The Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has said he will launch an attack on the southern Gaza city of Rafah regardless of the peace negotiations with Hamas. Over half of Gaza's 2.5 million population is in Rafah after people fled there to escape the conflict in other parts of the country. The living conditions in Rafah are dire, and US President Joe Biden has previously described an invasion of Rafah as a red line. Pro-Palestinian demonstrators are occupying an academic building at Columbia University in protest of the war in Gaza. Activists have barricaded themselves inside the Hamilton Hall building in the early hours this morning. Students have described the campus as lawless and utter anarchy.
It's our responsibility, it's our moral obligation to stand up for Palestine. And so all of our students, along with me, none of us here are scared to be arrested. None of us are scared to be suspended. We're here to stand up for Palestine, for a liberated Palestine.
Columbia University has urged students and staff to stay away from campus.
And thank you for that, Ben. Councils are facing the scrutiny of parents as thousands across the country appeal for improvement in special education waiting lists. This comes as education has faced monumental budget cuts all across the nation, leaving students with a lack of effective support and teachers disappointed with the current financial framework. We have John Conaghan on the story.
All across Scotland, councils have been faced with an excessive demand from parents as special education programmes have become overrun with applicants. Statistics from Glasgow City Council show that appeals from access to special education programmes have more than doubled, with figures reaching 149 applicants in the last year. All across the country, councils have been informed of a drastic increase in the number of additional needs students, including those whose needs have grown more complicated throughout the 2019 COVID pandemic. It's believed that almost 37% of students are now considered to be eligible for special needs assistance, with certain areas having half of their students in need of extra care. Despite a rise of over 200,000 students in need of special education programmes since 2007, the number of special schools has dropped since then from 190 just to 107. Between this and Scottish Government policy, this means that most additional needs students attend mainstream schools. Earlier today, we spoke with John Bennett, a pupil support teacher at St Margaret's Academy in Livingston, to find out how schools are handling these measures.
the age of austerity, and then the impact of COVID, etc. So resources have decreased, there's no doubt about it. And therefore, we as teachers have to be more creative, and not just teachers, staff in general, like PSWs, that's people support workers. And we're dealing with a lot more young people now than before with additional needs. So the answer to that is the budget cuts have created a significant challenge to how we go about our work and making sure that we support every child. And I feel that there's a culture of frustration within the educational community at the moment, and that was reflected last year when we had to go on strike for the first time in 20 years, I believe.
There's fear that this increase will be affected by budget cuts. Glasgow City Council alone have plans to cut roughly 490 teaching jobs throughout the next 3 years, which has the potential to cause further damage to schools already struggling under current policies.
Thank you, John. And now over to Finbar with the sports.
Hibernian women face off against Partick Thistle tomorrow night in the Scottish Women's Premier League. Hibs are in fifth in the SWPL and are looking to improve their form following a four-match winless run. They sit 4 points ahead of Partick Thistle, who are currently in sixth place. We spoke to Hibs midfielder Michaela McAloney ahead of tomorrow night's match.
I just want to ask you, how's the mood in the camp before tomorrow night's game?
Yeah, it's going really well. I think we're all prepped and ready to go, and yeah, we're focused and we'll be looking to take the 3 points tomorrow.
I mean, you've performed really well in your last four fixtures, but you've not come away with a result at any point. How are you looking to build on those performances and turn them into 3 points tomorrow?
Yeah, I think there's definitely positives to take, but most importantly, we need to start picking up points now as the gap's getting closer, like away from Hearts. So yeah, the most important part is we obviously want to get a good performance in, but the most important part for us tomorrow is the 3 points.
Your last victory actually came against tomorrow night's opponents, Partick. Do you feel like this is the perfect opportunity to get back on track?
Yeah, I think obviously it's always been a tough game against Partick, especially this season. So we'll obviously give them the respect that they deserve, and they're a hard-working team, but I feel like this is a great opportunity to show what we can do and get the 3 points and hopefully build our confidence back up going into the next few games of the season.
The full interview can be found on our podcast, Winner Stays On. In other football news, Hearts star man Lawrence Shankland has been nominated for PFA Scotland Men's Player of the Year Award. The Hearts striker has been in fine form this season and is the league's current top goal scorer, sitting on 21 goals in his 28 appearances for the Jambos this season. And finally, the Scottish men's amputee football team have learnt their opponents for the upcoming European Championships in France. Today's draw has seen the Scottish side paired with Germany, Poland and Greece for the third edition of the Amputee Euros. It's the first time they've taken part in the tournament with a 13-man squad, which was announced yesterday, hoping to leave their mark in France this summer.
And thank you for that, Finbar. And finally, as the weather picks up, as do the glasses, Scottish Whiskey Month starts tomorrow, so those with a love for the caramel-coloured drink should be prepared for a liquid warmth leading into the cold Scottish summer. Casey McPherson discusses the cultural impact that the beloved drink has had here in Edinburgh.
Tomorrow, the 1st of May, commences Edinburgh's Whiskey Month. Edinburgh's history with whiskey goes all the way back to the 1400s, where both Scotland and Ireland claim to have originated the spirit. Edinburgh initially became a hotspot for whiskey production in the 19th century, when railway lines and new laws allowed for easier creation and transportation. Whiskey is so ingrained into Scottish history that the word whiskey originates from Gaelic, referring to it as water of life, or eiscebeithe. Whiskey is so much the water of life in Scotland that centuries-old distilleries are still up and running. Glenturret in Perthshire has been running since 1775 and is widely known as the first licensed whisky distillery in Scotland. Edinburgh's own Johnny Walker was established in 1820 and continues to provide experiences and whisky to the world today. In fact, the distillery was a part of the largest bottling plant in the world up until its closure in 2012. I talked to experts at the famous Johnny Walker in Princes Street and asked them about whisky culture and celebration in Scotland.
Thing because of how much whisky we produce, not just like
in one place in Scotland, but all around Scotland. You've got whiskey from the Lowlands, the Highlands, Speyside, all the way into the islands as well. It's such like a massively celebrated thing all around Scotland, just so important. On top of that, it's one of Scotland's biggest external produce. So quite a lot of the money that Scotland makes as a whole comes from whiskey, which is why it's such an important thing. I think it's good to just have like a certain time where you can just sit and reflect, and all the kind of the distilleries, they usually produce like a special bottle around that time, and that really encourages people to come along, pick up those special bottles, really kind of experience the culture as well of Scotland, which is great. It needs to be celebrated more, I think. So more people coming in, more tourists coming into Scotland, it's really kind of impactful for us. So why don't we use our biggest export and our most well-known thing to really kind of push that forward? So it'd be great to see that in like more tourism, more advertising of distilleries, more people to come in and really kind of appreciate what we really offer as a country.
Kevin McGee, the owner of the Athletic Arms, has procured the largest open whiskey collection in Edinburgh. We discuss the importance of the pub's ample collection and whisky's impact on drinking culture.
We branched out and got a decent whisky collection, and we just kept on growing it and growing it and growing it. And now it's not uncommon for us to have tourists outside at 11 o'clock who are quite happy to spend £40 or £50 on a couple of drams, to the amazement of the regulars. But these whiskies are whiskies that they can't get anywhere else, so they're happy to come a wee bit out to the city centre to sample them. The thing is, well, nowadays there's so many whisky cocktails as well. You know, people are using it as an ingredient for other drinks. It's no longer people looking down their nose at people who asking for water or ice. It's kind of an all-encompassing spirit. So, you know, it's fine to head into traditional whisky bars, but I can guarantee you some of the high-end cocktail bars will also be including whisky in their cocktail.
With all of this love for whisky in Edinburgh, you truly will never run out of experiences. Whisky will always have a hold over the heart of the Scots. Slange.
This is Radio Energy Travel.
Water repair work is still ongoing on Nidri Mains Road, but the good news is that the temporary traffic lights are now lifted. But there are still long delays at Preffin Mill Road eastbound, King's Haw, and westbound delays on Nidri Mains Road itself from Green Dykes Road. Here's Connor with the weather.
Now, the weather on Radio Energy.
Showers will be progressing northerly from this morning, settling in the west. This leaves the east with largely bright and sunny spells for the day with a maximum temperature of 18 degrees. The night will remain cloudy but will be clear and dry with a minimum temperature of 7 degrees.
This is Radio Energy News.
And now for a quick roundup of this afternoon's headlines.
As special education waiting lists become extortionate following budget cuts, parents are forced to appeal for improvements.
And as May begins, so does Scottish Whisky Month, along with the celebrations.
This is Radio Energy News.
Thank you for listening today to Radio Energy.
We hope you were entertained and informed on current events in Scotland and around the world.
I've been Thomas Harper.
And I've been Conor McCluskey.
And thank you for listening to Radio Energy News.
This is Radio Energy News.